This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area Wednesday, December 19th, 2012. On Monday, the oil and gas industry hit the city of Longmont with a lawsuit to kill voters' recent ban on fracking within city limits. The Colorado Oil and Gas Association, an industry trade group, says the ban is illegal because it denies mineral owners the right to develop their property and blocks operations that state laws allow. The Denver Post reports that the Colorado Oil and Gas Association has asked Weld County District Court to invalidate the resolution passed by Longmont voters. In a written statement, Colorado Oil and Gas Association President Tisha Schuller said that the group understands that Longmont citizens are concerned about the safety of their environment. She said they hope the lawsuit can be resolved quickly to address those concerns in a way that does not illegally prevent the safe and responsible development of oil and gas reserves. The Post reports that Longmont leaders vowed to fight back. On November 6th, voters changed the city charter to prohibit fracking or hydraulic fracturing and the storage of fracking waste in the city. When Longmont's council passed different local oil and gas regulations this year, Governor John Hickenlooper directed state attorneys to sue the city. But 2 weeks ago, Hickenlooper said the state will not sue Longmont again over the vote, but that it will support any lawsuit by companies. The Post reports that Colorado residents elsewhere along the Front Range are also pushing to ban oil and gas operations inside municipal limits. The Colorado Oil and Gas Association's lawsuit aims to set a precedent. Yesterday, Governor John Hickenlooper introduced a plan to redesign and strengthen Colorado's mental health services and support system. Hickenlooper said the move was in response to the Aurora shooting and intended to, quote, reduce the probability of bad things happening to good people. The plan includes proposed legislative changes to protect the civil liberties of people experiencing mental crises and make mental health records available for firearm purchase background checks. In addition, it plans to establish a statewide mental health crisis hotline and 24/7 walk-in crisis centers. There are also plans to develop community resources for those transitioning from institutional care. To fund this plan, the governor is asking the General Assembly to approve $18.5 million in next year's budget. It would be implemented through several state agencies, state and local law enforcement, and many hospitals and psychiatric emergency medical partners. Former Colorado Governor Bill Ritter is on the short list to be the next energy secretary. The Denver Post reports that Ritter, a one-term governor who is now leading Colorado State University's Center for the New Energy Economy, is among a small group of unofficial finalists to take over the department. The current secretary, Stephen Chu, has not made any formal announcement, but is expected to depart the administration in the next term. Ritter told the Denver Post Tuesday he was flattered to be among such distinguished names and said, quote, "It's a crucial time for the country to focus on energy policy among the other priorities. Energy has to be a priority going forward," end quote. The Post reports that Ritter often talks about his balanced approach to boosting domestic energy production and jobs in Colorado while being sensitive to Colorado's environment and producing oil and gas in a responsible way. As governor, Ritter also backed controversial legislation that could lead Xcel Energy to convert 3 of its coal-fired electric plants to use natural gas. The Post reports that won praise from environmentalists and the natural gas industry, but opposition from the coal industry. Ritter also successfully boosted the state's renewable energy standard from 20% to 30% by 2020. A local breast cancer charity is coping with declining donations. The economy is likely to blame in part, but Aspen's Susan G. Komen for the Cure chapter is still feeling the impact of a public relations nightmare. The National Komen Group defunded Planned Parenthood early in the year, but quickly reversed that decision after many saw the move as anti-abortion. From Aspen Public Radio, Marcy Krivenin reports.
We also have a small little area. I would like it to be bigger if we had a bigger office, but of some breast cancer resources.
Komen Aspen Executive Director Logan Hood gives a quick tour of her basement office. Despite the lack of sunlight here, the area is bright, with pink walls and a large sequined pink ribbon propped up on the ground.
So it's a great place for people to come and sit and talk with us.
Komen Aspen was one of the first chapters to launch after the national organization got going in the early 1980s. The local group raises money for breast cancer research and community grants through events like Ride for the Cure and Ski for the Cure. Raising funds this year, says Hood, was difficult.
From our events this year, which happened during the summer, we have seen a significant downfall in fundraising, which is about 30% down, meaning I will grant about that less next year.
Plummeting donations began when the charity's national administration publicly plunged into the abortion debate. In January, Komen's national office announced it would pull funding for things like cancer screenings at Planned Parenthood. The outcry against Komen was immediate and apparently long-lasting, even after Komen reversed its decision. Local chapters like Aspen's continue to be haunted by the announcement, but Hood says fundraising was hurt elsewhere too.
Affiliates across the country, we know, are suffering from financial declines as well as ours. And to say how much of a percentage that impacted, I don't know. But we know that we're here to stay, the need is greater than ever, and that our affiliate is supporting programs that are saving lives.
Fundraising is also down at the Denver Komen chapter. The executive director there says it's likely due to a combination of the Planned Parenthood debacle and a tough economy. Nationally, Komen's popularity has suffered. A Harris Interactive poll released earlier this year showed the charity's brand health dropped 21% from the year before. Only Fannie Mae has seen a bigger drop, according to the polling firm. In an effort to boost funding in the coming year, Komen Aspen will unveil new creative approaches to telling cancer survivors' stories. Logan Hood hopes to see more support.
We're going to remind sponsors and participants and volunteers to continue their support because we need it.
The group launched its year-end fundraising campaign. It's hoping to pick up donations before starting fresh in 2013. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Marcy Krivenin.
Saturday was the first nonstop Allegiant Air flight between Oakland, California and Montrose. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that the low-cost Nevada-based airline offers bi-weekly flights this winter to and from the Montrose Regional Airport from Phoenix, Arizona and Oakland, California. The Planet reports that negotiations with Allegiant have been ongoing for more than a year in an effort to open up new markets and lower flight costs to the region. The Montrose Airport currently offers flights mainly to Denver and Dallas, Texas. The service will run through the winter and end in early April, but could continue into the future. The Planet reports that the deal with Allegiant is expected to bring around 10,000 additional seats to the region this winter. The idea is for the service to be renewed for the summer season and eventually become year-round. Winter bookings are so far pacing above last year's, but a lot will depend on snowfall, since much of the anticipated traffic will be for ski tourism in nearby Telluride. Investigators are still searching for 11-year-old Dylan Redwine, 1 month after he vanished from his father's home in Vallecito Lake. The Denver Post reports that even a reward of $11,000 hasn't leveraged any solid leads so far. Tips are still coming in from across the country, but nothing has brought investigators closer to the missing teen. The Post reports that Dylan's mother, Elaine Redwine, finally had to return home in Monument Sunday night after spending a month in the Durango area hoping her son would be found. Dylan's missing posters are still plastered around Vallecito and the nearby town of Bayfield. Residents are wearing blue bracelets with Dylan's name, And the Post reports that a Facebook site, Find Missing Dylan Redwine, has kept up direct messages to Dylan in case he has computer access. Dan Bender, a spokesman for the La Plata County Sheriff's Office, said they still have no suspect. Thus concludes today's newscast. This is Brian Cambria for KVNF News.